Howard Goodall. It was sung by the BBC Singers, conducted by Stephen Clebury, and Robert Quinney played the organ. In an hour's time at 11 o'clock in Jazz Lineup, we have a programme in honour of Michael Garrick, who died in November. We'll hear a performance of his jazz suite, Peter Pan, directed by his son, Gabriel. But now it's 10 o'clock and time for World Roots, recorded on location in Jerusalem and presented by Moshe Morad.
I'm on my way to Jerusalem, where once again World Roots is making exclusive recordings at the International Oud Festival. To get me in the mood for the music in today's program, I've stopped off here at Shuk Levinsky, the Levinsky Market in South Tel Aviv. It's in a quarter of the city also known as Little Saloniki, after the Greek city Thessalonica, from where its first inhabitants came in the late 1920s. Thessalonica was under Ottoman rule for 500 years until 1912, and its ancient Jewish community preserved Turkish, Greek, and Jewish traditions. Even to this day, you can hear among the spice and food stalls Greek, Turkish, and the nearly extinct ancient language of Sephardic Jews, Ladino. The concert that we are recording tonight in Jerusalem is a tribute to someone who would have felt at home here in the market, the singer Rosa Ashkenazi. She was born in the mid-1890s to a Jewish family in Istanbul, moved to Thessalonica, and made her career in Greece, where she became known as the Queen of Rebetiko, the Greek blues. She led a colorful and mysterious life, singing and dancing in the low-life tavernas of the port of Piraeus, saving Jews from the Nazis during World War II, falling in love with a German soldier, and even harboring an English spy in her house. She was eventually buried in an unmarked grave in Corinthia, southern Greece. Tonight's concert brings together the three cultural pillars of Rosa Ashkenazi's art. The Greek of her adult life and career, represented by Greek singer Yota Nega. The Turkish of her birthplace and childhood, represented by Turkish singer Mehtap Demir. And the Ladino of her mother tongue with Israeli singer Yasmin Levy, accompanied by a mixed orchestra of Greek, Turkish and Israeli virtuosos. A tribute to Rosa Ashkenazi and a celebration of Mediterranean culture and spirit, something also at the heart of the other concert we are bringing you tonight, master musicians from Spain, Greece and Iran. More about them later. First though, I'm off to Jerusalem to celebrate the extraordinary life of Rosa Ashkenazi. Thank you.
Αυτά που λες εγώ τα κόβερεσαι. Τα παραμύθια σου τα δυστυχά πια τώρα. Και το κατάλαβα πως ήμουν άγια σε. Ο πασατέμπος σου για να περνάει η ώρα. Σαν τέμπο σου για να περνάει η ώρα. Κάθε σου φίλημα το βρίσκω πιο πικρό. Καημό μου δεν μπορείς να το γλυκάνεις. Μαζί μου έρχεσαι παπέσικο μικρό. Γιατί γυρεύεις κόξες άλλον να κάνεις. Μαζί μου έρχεσαι παπέσικο μικρό. Τι γυρεύεις κόξες άλλον να κάνεις. Φύγε λοιπόν αφού το θες αλλού να πας. Κι ας τις μουρμούρες και τις κλάψες και τις τρίχες. Κι όταν θα σβήσεις με το αγαπά, αγαπάς. Να μην του πεις ότι για πάσα τεπομύχες. Κι όταν θα σβήσεις με το αγαπά, αγαπάς. Να μην του πεις ότι για πάσα τεπομύχες.
So I'm here at the backstage at the Jerusalem Theatre, the wonderful tribute to Rosa Ashkenazi. I've got with me Roy Scher and Elpida Margianidou, the people that sort of had the vision and created this concept and idea. Who is Rosa Ashkenazi? Tell us.
So Rosa Ashkenazi is a rebetiko singer. If you're not familiar with the term rebetiko, it's the Greek blues. Rosa became very famous at the end of the 20s. Basically, she was the most recorded, or the first recorded artist in Greece. And then started a career that lasted for about 5 decades until the end of the 1970s. She stands at the crossroad that she stands in the midst of, which is the Turkish Jewish origin that she comes from, being a Sephardic Jew from Istanbul, then immigrating to the Ottoman Thessaloniki, from there to Greece. When she opens her mouth to sing, you can hear these wonderful tastes of the Orient and of the West mixing together. This is what is unique about her voice and about her performance.
This magic that Roy was talking about, how did you actually bring it together in the concert?
We tried to do this, combine all the musicians and the singers from Israel, from Turkey and from Greece. We invite them in this concert to play again the same songs that Rosa sang, and to use the different colors that every culture holds.
You chose three singers who represent the three different identities in the biography of Rosa Ashkenazi.
We choose one from Israel, it's Yasmin Levy, then it's Turkish with Mehtap Demir, and from Greece, Yota Negga. And these three different singers, it's the three different parts of Rosa.
Talking about rebetiko in general, that Roy mentioned the music, he called it the Greek blues. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, when you don't understand the language, it can be a bit confusing because the music can be up-tempo and dancing, but the lyrics are very heavy and sad.
The songs that Rosa sang, it was between rebetiko and smirneiko.
Which is from Izmir.
Yes, Izmir, and it's more up and you can dance. And also there are a few parts of Rosa's song that is near to rebetiko, so, you know, that's why it's up and you can dance.
But what are the songs about? What was she singing about?
The songs deal with everyday life. They deal with love, with hate, with cheating, with drugs, a lot of songs about drugs, with subculture. Because rebetiko comes from these people that came from the subculture. This music was only popular for a very close circle of community in the beginning, originally. These days, intellectuals love this music.
But before it was
the music of the poor and the people that had a very difficult life.
The life of Rosa Ashkenazi was a bit of a myth. There is some unknown facts about her biography, right?
We don't know what was the exact date that she was born.
And also, just before her death, was quite tragic and sad because she was suffering from Alzheimer, right?
There were many, many stories about her walking in the street, perceiving a night as it was a day. It was very sad stories, but always someone waited for her in her house. This was her young lover. A Christoph. Guy that she lived with for many years. He was about 25 to 30 years younger than her. But yes, the disease did finish her life in a pretty miserable way.
And she was buried?
Buried in the village of Stomio, next to where the family of her young boyfriend lived. For many years, her grave was unmarked. But a couple of years ago, the culture committee of this village managed to raise some funds to build a tombstone on her grave. And now there's a tombstone in the grave. Maybe it will become a tourist attraction soon.
Well, the next stage is obviously your project, bringing the music of Rosa Ashkenazi out to the world.
Yes.
So good luck.
And maybe we'll even get to London soon, hopefully.
Thank you.
στη σημερινή γιορτή σου να σε χαρεί μανούλα σου.
Tribute to the colorful life and music of the Sweet Canary, the legendary queen of rebetiko, Rosa Ashkenazi, here at the Jerusalem Oud Festival by three singers, one from Greece, one from Turkey, and one from here, Israel. The singers were accompanied by wonderful musicians from the three different cultures, including, by the way, Ramazan Sesler, the Turkish clarinet player, son of the great gypsy clarinetist Selim Sesler. More highlights from this concert later in the program. I've crossed Jerusalem to catch another concert in the festival, which is here at the Khan Theater. Once an Ottoman silk factory and caravanserai for religious pilgrims, this evening full of musical pilgrims who've come to hear more music from the Mediterranean and the Middle East, the Petrakis, Lopez and Shemirani trio. Well, as soon as they finish this sound check on stage, I'm going to go up there and ask them about their incredible collection of instruments, including the hurdy-gurdy. Efren Lopez, hi. You got the hurdy-gurdy there. It's a fantastic instrument. Sometimes it sounds like a violin, sometimes like a bagpipe or like a full orchestra. So tell us, how does it work?
It has four sets of strings.
Yes.
One is we call the melodic strings, which is the function is to play the melody.
Right. With and this, you keep turning this, you're turning a wheel there.
The wheel
rotates and,
yes,
and sort of wraps and the strings.
The strings are the violin duos. Then we have the drum strings, which has a fixed pitch. Then we have these sympathetic strings that we don't play, but we
resonate.
Tune on the scale we play, no? The last one is a rhythmical string, we call it trumpet.
Yeah, and sounds a bit like a trumpet, So that's amazing, because we've got all these different combination of strings, each one has its own role.
Yeah, you can play sometimes like violin as
yeah.
you...
And give us a demonstration of all the strings together, the full orchestra and the hurdy-gurdy.
It's amazing, and it's beautiful as well. I wish I could show you, the listeners.
This is a copy of a medieval instrument. And the origin was a huge instrument, so it was needed two persons to play it. One was playing the wheel, and the other one was playing the keys,
with
no?
The fingers the keyboard. On the keys, the keyboard.
And the 12th century was made like we know it today, more or less.
A smaller version. And it comes from Spain and France, which is your connection to it. You're from Valencia, And then there's this wonderful percussions here, played by Bijan Chemirami. You're part of a very famous percussion dynasty. Your father was a famous...
I learned percussion with my father, who is a great player of those
He was the greatest Iranian player of Zarab music.
He was one of the important one, let's say.
Yeah, some people say he was the most important. Okay. Some beautiful percussion instruments here, the daf, the bendir, and the zarab. Yeah?
The zarab is, as you see, is one piece of wood. We glue on it a goat skin. And it's digital percussion that we play with all the finger, like. The daf is this big frame drum, who has these metallic rings that make some resonance on it.
There's another very interesting instrument there with a very interesting sound as well. What is it? Is it a zarab as well?
Yeah, it's a zarab as well. So it's just a piece of wood instead of the skin.
What a wonderful sound. It's just right a combination. The first time I see a combination of cajon and sort of a frame drum, like basically a handheld drum, like a darbuka and a cajon.
Something between, yeah. Interesting.
And finally, Stelios Petrakis, you're from Crete, which has a great lira tradition, and you play the lira.
This type of lira, the lira with sympathetic strings, is a modern type with three main strings, as all the liras, in fact, which has 17 sympathetic strings that you don't play, they just resonate. They are tuned in specific notes which resonate. So it gives a natural reverb, some extra harmonics. I will also play the older version. This lira is the oldest lira around the 18th century, and its sound is very close to kemençe that we know from Istanbul.
Thank you, Stelios Petrakis, Efrain Lopez, and Bijan Chemirami. Trio Petrakis, Lopez, Chemirami.
Thank you.
The wonderful Petrakis, Lopez, Shemirani trio at the Chan Theatre in Jerusalem, recorded especially for World Roots at the Jerusalem International Oud Festival. Earlier in the program, we heard music from the special tribute to Rosa Ashkenazi. Rosa Ashkenazi was the Greek queen of Frembetiko, born in Istanbul, raised in Salonika, combining the three different cultures, Jewish culture, Greek culture, and Turkish culture, exactly like this market here. Shuk Levinsky, we started the program here. I'm back here in one of the most famous stores, the store of Chaim Rafael. Chaim Rafael himself, a Jew from Salonika, who arrived here in the 1940s, and together with other Jews from Salonika, established this market. His son is running this shop now, Tzadik Rafael. I'm going to try and catch him. He's selling some olives now. The moment he finishes with the customer, I'm going to ask him about his memory of the Salonika Jews and especially of Rosa Ashkenazi.
אנחנו צריכים להבין שאנחנו מדברים על סוף שנות ה-20 של המאה הקודמת.
We're talking about the 1920s in Saloniki. The community there that his father was one of the leaders of was very conservative and religious. For a woman at that time, a young woman, to come and perform, not only in clubs, even in clubs it was forbidden and unacceptable, but she actually appeared in places where people were smoking drugs, and the community basically expelled her from the community. She was the unwanted there. This is the reason Rosa decided to leave Saloniki and go south to Athens and Piraeus and started appearing in the clubs in Piraeus where Rebetiko music started. You love her music?
Very much, very much. מעין חזרה לשורשים שלנו.
A town of about 200,000 people, there were 150,000 Jews, and it was under Ottoman Empire, of course, under Turkish, but the language that was spoken, the most popular language in Saloniki at the time was Ladino, the only language. You speak Ladino, yeah? So Vic says that this is one of the reasons that I love so much and still love Rosa Ashkenazi, because for me, it's the part of Ladino lifestyle and music, it's the Jewish part, which is, by the way, very unusual, because for the Greeks, she's queen of Rebetiko, she's part of very important part of Greek music. For the Turkish, there is another Rosa story. And for the Jews, she's Jewish. He believes that the reason many Jews now like her music and go back to her music is in a way regretting what they did to her then, and this is a way they sort of ask her pardon. So let's hear more highlights from the special tribute to Rosa Ashkenazi at the Jerusalem International Oud Festival, recorded especially for World Roots.
Otro amor, para mí has muerto y espero otro verdor que para mí has muerto.
Music recorded at the 2011 Jerusalem International Oud Festival. World Roots was presented by Moshe Murad and produced by James Parkin. And listen out for more recordings from the Jerusalem International Oud Festival during 2012 on World Roots.
Every summer in Germany, the Castle of Schwetzingen plays host to the classical music stars of today and of tomorrow in a revered music festival that has taken place since 1952. In the Radio 3 lunchtime concert over Christmas and New Year, you can hear 9 recitals from the 2011 Schwetzingen Festival. Music of all shapes and sizes, weekdays from Tuesday at 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Well, tomorrow we've 2 return visits to this year's proms. At 7:30, there's another chance to hear John Wilson's orchestra and soloists in the Hooray for Hollywood concert, a glittering tribute to the golden age of Hollywood musicals. Then at 10 o'clock, there's just one man with his violin, Nigel Kennedy, playing 2 of Bach's solo partitas. Well, Jazz Lineup is next tonight with Julian Joseph, but first, a carol by Steve Martland. From Lands That See the Sun Arise by Steve Martland. It was sung by the BBC Singers, conducted by Stephen Clebury. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Now on this Christmas Day, a special edition of Jazz Lineup, introduced by Julian Joseph.
Good evening and a happy Christmas from the BBC Maida Vale Studios in West London. Today we salute a jazz legend, a composer, soloist, arranger and educator of the highest order, a musician who was to have directed his orchestra tonight at this concert. We sadly lost Michael Garrick in November, and he last recorded in these studios last year for this programme to commemorate his 50 years in broadcasting. In fact, he was no stranger to these studios, having broadcast from here with a multitude of combinations. To tonight, and his orchestra will be directed by his son, Gabriel, Mr. Gabriel Garrick. The centerpiece of tonight's jazz lineup is Michael Garrick's Peter Pan. The Peter Pan suite is in 10 movements and portrays all the classic characters: Peter Pan, Mrs. Darling, Mr. Darling, Wendy, the Lost Boys, Tink, that's Tinkerbell, Hook, the trees, Crocodile, and the finale being Neverland. Each section is preceded or features a lyric by Michael Garrick and will be read by either Gabriel Garrick or vocalist Nettie Robinson. Gabriel?
Also on piano, joining us, I'm very privileged to say we have Julian Joseph.
Now, this is quite a work from your father. I mean, he certainly wasn't shy in his composing output, but this is quite a staggering piece of it in his modern period.
This, to be honest, is one of his crowning glories, or it certainly starts a period of time which I would consider to be one of his crowning glories. It's very hard to say that, actually, because, of course, he's been prolifically composing for, well, before he wrote this, at least 40 years. But this time, especially for the big band, he'd got really into the writing and the voicing and the scoring for this setup, this lineup of musicians, that this piece, for me, really shows an awful lot of his maturity and crowning glory, period.
So you remember this piece being written. Was it all conceived in one go, and he sort of just kept rolling them out, or he rolled it out all at once in these 10 movements? Or
the way I remember it, there was some involvement with some local, I think it was actually Roy Mathers, who we had officiating at the funeral, strange enough, a lovely man, who'd given him the germ of the idea. And in fact, this was on the... Dad was speaking about this on the Radio 3 programme at midnight on Saturday. I hear him now, remember him saying that somebody suggested, why don't you write it, because it was 2002, 2003, why don't you write something to do with the Cray brothers, because one of them had just died. And in typical Mike Garrick fashion, he was abhorred by the fact that nothing gets more publicity in the world than crime. And somehow or another, the idea of Peter Pan was introduced to him in writing about Peter Pan. And he thought, well, that's it, you know, and jumped on it. And I think it just came pretty quickly. I remember, as far as my involvement and the band's involvement was at the time, we were playing regularly at the Vortex, the old Vortex in Stoke Newington, once a month for a period of a couple of years. And he used that to kind of rehearse it, get the ideas out and all the rest of it. It was a bit of a struggle at times, but because of the very complex nature of the music. But that's my overriding memories.
Poetry, literature, these are things that were very important to him and things that he'd dealt with in his art for many, many years. Do you remember him reading? Do you remember his passion for literature?
Julian... I can remember is too weak a word. There's no word that can describe what poetry, literature, well, particularly poetry, induces in my feeling about Dad in terms of how important it was to him. Because it was all about poetry, looking at the higher ideals about mankind's process, development, spirituality, and all the other questions which can never be answered with the intellect, and many religions and all the rest of it. Mysticisms have tried hard to point in the right direction, and will always fail, and they'll always fail for one reason, and that is because, ascribe whatever name you like to God or the Creator, you'll never know him with your head. You'll only know him with your heart and love, and that's what the deal is. But I suppose, as a human being, we have the head to deal with these things and try and decode the feelings that we feel and the intuitions and the impulses that we come across. So it's a constant, endless fascination to try and use words to describe certain things. Ultimately, though, Dad was a musician, and music is the ultimate language in that it doesn't define anything. It's quite open. They're open questions, musical phrases, sounds, tones, all the rest of it, any kind of music. But it will speak to you. It will speak to you far louder than any words in any language. And so you marry the two in Michael Garrick, and there you have it.
Would you say Peter Pan, this Peter Pan suite, is typical of his writing?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there's a lot of things that I could list, and I could probably ramble on for ages like that, you know, but certainly wonderful themes. You know, he wrote melodies, incredibly beautiful melodies, very easily. But he would never be satisfied with just sticking to a kind of, if you like, straightforward melody. He would have to kind of put a stamp of extra creation on it and make it more quirky, I think, if you like. That's a nice word to use.
Well, I think we've got an idea of what we might be hearing, or actually have no idea of what we might be hearing.
Just as well.
But equally, it makes the anticipation that more poignant. Before we get to the music, I'm just going to announce the members of the band. So thank you very much, Gabriel Garrick.
Thank you, Julian.
So in the rhythm section, we have Dominic Ashworth on guitar, Matt Ridley on the bass, Alan Jackson on the drums. Leading the saxophone section on alto, we have Sam